From Houston, Texas, this is Big Ideas Small Business with your host, Brian Gendron. And now, the music of Max Flynn.
I'm starting to feel a little crazy again. I think it's time I start to pack my things.
Welcome to Big Ideas Small Business. This is your host, Brian Gendron. Each week, we interview entrepreneurs, intrapreneurs, side hustlers, authors, thought leaders, different people that can share their experiences in the hopes that we can motivate, inspire entrepreneurs along their journey. Today, we're joined by Jimmy from Naughty Noahs. How are you?
Doing well, Brian. Doing well. Thanks for having me here.
Well, thanks for coming. This is something we've been trying to put together for a while now.
Yeah. Yep.
Jimmy, of course, was attended one of my workshops at the University of Houston SBDC. He was an A student.
No, far from that. Far from that.
Yeah, but you showed up nice and early. You were enthusiastic, ready to learn. I think you were actually the one that volunteered to do the podcast at the end, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So
yeah.
I always do a 5-minute spot at the end of my workshop that allows one lucky student to try podcasting.
Yeah.
So. Well, good. Well, we're going to get into quite a bit today. As I mentioned earlier at the top, we like to uncover a big idea that you've had in your career, and I'm going to assume that's going to be Naughty Noahs Noodles.
Yeah.
A lot we can talk about there. Very exciting product, very exciting future, I think, for you, and a lot going on with the company.
Absolutely a lot. A lot going on.
Before we do it, I'd always like to start with a fun fact about you.
Fun fact. Most recently, about 2 years ago, I had my second child during Hurricane Harvey in the car.
Oh my gosh.
And during that same year, I did my first half Ironman, full Ironman, 2 weeks apart.
Wow.
And launching the company.
No kidding.
Yeah.
It's a busy time for you. Have you slowed down since?
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. Just really enjoying the process.
Enjoying the process.
Yeah. I've learned to... You know, with, you know, having gone through so many adversities when I was young, immigrated here to America when I was almost 2 from Vietnam. So we didn't have a lot of money or resources. And, but I always looked up to my mother, who's been a really big inspiration in my life. And she just was a natural entrepreneur, no formal education, nothing. And she just hustled her way through and saved up every penny to get, you know, property, and she was actually a seamstress for 18 years. She would reweave like wool clothing very finely with a big magnifying glass for 18 years.
Wow.
Before she went into real estate and mortgage. And at that same time, I graduated from engineering school, but I hated engineering school. Hated it.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah. I went in my second year, I came to her, I said, I don't like this engineering thing. I want to do business. But in our culture, it's like, hey, you're mandated or you're expected to be a doctor or an engineer, right? And I graduated, you know, six years later, I graduated, but it just was not my purpose or my passion. And at the same time, went into real estate and mortgage with my mother, my family. Mm-hmm. And that was an experience. You know, we did that for 6 years. And in the sixth year, right before 2008, she saw something, and I knew that I wasn't going to be in this industry for long term. And I always loved my mother's cooking, and I said, "Hey, I'm going to go apply to cooking school. I want to learn like the foundations of cooking school." And at the time, I was almost 200 pounds, like for a 5'7" Vietnamese guy, that's pretty heavy. Yeah. And so. I applied to the San Francisco Culinary School. Came back that summer in 2007 and realized, like, wait, there's got to be something better than this. So I applied to the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York, and started in spring 2008. And boy, it was an awesome, awesome experience. Like, I wanted to be this top chef, right? But having gone through the whole fine dining experience, I just said, you know, this is not what I've really expected it to be, and the experience was just gruesome. It wasn't really catering and being compassionate towards the customer. It was really hay in the kitchen. You're like fighting for space, fighting to be who's going to be the best, right? And it wasn't a lot of care and compassion towards, you know, each other as growing chefs. And so I did my externship in London with one of Gordon Ramsay's restaurants for a couple weeks. Got fired from that place. Went on to a new site and finished out in 2009. And in that summer, back it up, in that summer, I was in my dorm room and I was saying to myself, well, you know, who do I want to be with? Who do I want to marry? Because I was single at the time. And that'll kind of lead me at like how I ended up in Houston. I just declared that, you know, I wanted to marry somebody. I wanted to marry a doctor. I don't know what kind of doctor. I just want to marry a doctor, right? A month later, my wife, who's Texas-born, raised, she was in New York for a birthday party, and we met. And a couple months later, I graduated in November 2009. And every month, I would come here to visit her, you know, for 5 months. And in March 2010, packed my bags, moved to Houston, gave it a shot. Gave the restaurant scene a shot as well for 6-8 months. And again, I got fired again, you know, a couple of places. And so I went back to mortgage. I was trying to chase and live up to my parents and my wife's, you know, expectations, like trying to make money, right? And I did that for 3 years. I made $100,000, but it wasn't fulfilling. So in 2013, I was in California, and my wife and I were only married for like 6 months, but there was an opportunity for to open a second restaurant. So backtrack, she opened a restaurant while I was in cooking school. And in that summer, 2013, packed a bag, moved to Houston, to San Diego, and helped my mother build up a second restaurant from the ground up. And at that time, the communication with us was like huge breakdowns all the time. I was trying to put systems and processes in place, but you know, with working with your mother, especially family, mm-hmm. it's tough. It's super tough because they, you know, they're used to wanting things their way, right? And then what was at risk was my relationship with my mom. And in that summer, she had told me to, hey, why don't you take this landmark forum course thing? And so I did. I actually was introduced to it by my brother and my best friend from engineering school that summer. I started early in the spring, and I sat on it for 4 or 5 months. And it wasn't until my mother said, hey, I'm extending this offer to you. Why don't you go and try it out? Who knows, you might get something out of it. And that changed my life forever, that course. Took the landmark forum in 2013, Los Angeles. Got complete with my mother, got complete with my stepfather of 34 years. Not once did I acknowledge him, appreciate him. But on that Sunday of the forum, I called him during the break and I said, hey, Dad, it's me. And he's like, what do you want? I said, well, I just want to have a conversation with you and express how much I appreciate you as being my dad. I had made up this story when I was very young, when you and Mom got together, that you weren't good enough to be my father. So I created that story, and I was always wondered why him and I didn't have that close connection or relationship. And it was all me, it wasn't him. And then I said, I love you. Not once had I ever said I love you to him in 34 years, Brian. So I got complete, and that Christmas, my wife flew over to California that year for Christmas. Christmas was on a Wednesday.
Can I stop you for a second? So yeah. is your wife living in Houston while you're in California? Or
yep.
Are y'all?
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she flew over to California that year for Christmas, December 2013. Christmas was on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, you know, we were trying to have a child, a family. But it's pretty hard when I'm in California, she's here, and she wasn't even ovulating either. And that morning I said, hey, we're going to make a baby tonight. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm not ovulating, right? I'm like, okay. So we do our thing, and then 4 days later, I moved back to Houston for good. Mm-hmm. January 10th, we go to the doctor's office. I say, hey, doc, we want to get pregnant. How do we do it? She's ovulating. I've been in California. She's in Texas. what do we do? It's just, okay, here, I'll give you a few options. You think about it. I'll come back. You let me know what you want to do. 2 minutes later, she comes back in and says, guess what? You're pregnant. I said, for real? She says, for real. That's when we found out we were having Noah. The following month, we go back for a follow-up. And I said, hey, Dad, when do we conceive? She goes, on or around Christmas. So 9 months to the day, September 25th, 2014, Noah was born at 6:47 p.m. And that's, you know, that is the spark and inspiration to starting this company, because I saw, so in the middle of that, in the middle of my culinary training, I brought awareness to what I was eating, and I cut everything out, lost 50 pounds, and I took my mother's recipe and I modernized it, and it took me 3 years in development to actually launch. And then we launched 2017 on Noah's birthday, direct to consumer. And then 2 months later onto Amazon. And then 2 months later, January 2018, we got into our first brick and mortar central market. And then in that same year, we launched to Cost Plus World Market in 220 locations nationwide. And we also went through a food accelerator called FoodX in New York with a little bit of venture capital funding as well.
Perfect. Let me pause you there. Yeah. That's what you gave us a lot.
Yeah.
So to summarize a bit of what you said on your journey,
you
came over here, I guess, really first generation American from Vietnam.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you learned quite a bit from your mother, her hustle, if you will. Also, like you said, a natural entrepreneur, but also very
traditional.
Yeah, traditional, that's a good way to put it, right? And so she had expectations for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you're able to overcome that and really follow your passion and certainly try a few different things. And you said something that I really liked. You kind of became whole. You made yourself whole, and then you had a spark, which was your child being born. And we share that. So I had a similar experience with my oldest son when he was born. It's kind of a realization, a wake-up call.
Yeah.
And certainly a period of being made whole. So this is great. This is all good foundational to starting a successful business, right? Because you had a few false starts along your career.
Absolutely.
Engineering. Certainly being
real
fired
estate.
From multiple restaurants, real estate, all these things. And so, but it does, you have to go through that, don't you, as a part of the journey?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's like, I look back, I'm 41 now. I look back in my 20s, my 30s, and now I'm in my 40s. I said, you know, had I gotten, like, my parents taught me whatever they knew, right? And had I gotten further support or encouragement of, hey, go something after you're passionate about versus what we think you're passionate about or versus, you know, what we expect you to be, it would have been a different story.
Yeah, and that right there is another critical component from my success. And it sounds like maybe landmark for you. For me, it was put that under like mentorship or just sort of outside counsel and outside guidance, more or less.
Yeah.
For me, it was RCIA, which is going to the Catholic Church and being assigned a sponsor through that process and having somebody that supported me. And that's all I really needed to excel. And do you think was it landmark that gave you that perspective? Is that kind of what I was picking up? Or?
Absolutely, yeah. It gave me the perspective of, and the encouragement to, you know, the real tools. That's what you get, right? It gave me the tools to have the courage, to have the confidence to go after my purpose, my passion, right? And that my life since then has been a skyrocket.
Yeah, traditional education and even traditions within the family, they just don't teach you to go after your purpose. And
no.
They don't, right?
Yeah. It's like a ingrained stigma, you know, amongst the I guess, first generation parents, right?
Yeah. Well, good. So now let's get to more or less present time, or
sure.
Just let's get into where we're at with Nadia's Noah's and where you've gone. So just it's your mom's recipe.
Yep.
You modernized it. Just real quick, what does that mean?
Modernized, so we made it 100% plant-based. So traditionally, pho is the staple dish of Vietnam, is made with beef bones, which it takes at least 12 hours to simmer to get the essence of the broth, right? So I took the core essence of her recipe, and I did not include any animal protein in there, and made it all just from the spices, made it all plant-based, vegan, and to mimic the texture of traditional pho, we added in coconut oil and avocado oil to mimic that texture. So that's what really sets us apart from, you know, any other noodle brand out there in our category, which, by the way, you know, it goes to the whole context of big idea, small business. The category that I'm in is a $2.5 billion category, right? Just in the category in the U.S. But worldwide, it'll be $55 billion by 2023. So it's a massive, massive undertaking as far as trying to disrupt or clean up this category, because it's been stagnant for the last 60 years. And that's why I think it's a big idea. It's I'm a small time entrepreneur trying to go after a Goliath of things.
What are the challenges right up the top that you've experienced in entry?
Yeah, getting to the market, right, is a big, big hurdle, because, you know, we chose to take production in-house and do it ourselves to get acclimated on the process, right? And then as we went off, so we're not even 2 years old yet, right, since we launched. And so we got to a point where we couldn't really scale. Like scale production, meaning doing 50,000, 100,000 units, you know, in a month. And so when we realized that, just briefly after, you know, shortly after a year, we said, okay, we have to outsource this production in order to really scale up. And for, you know, we have a venture capital and an accelerator that we've gone through. So that really kind of put us on the map, right, as far as from an investment standpoint. But from a retail standpoint, you know, retailers are looking for scalability, right? And so we've been very strategic with that, because we've heard so many horror stories with brands getting just killed, being put out of business because their strategy is not, you know, their strategy is not right. And what I think from my experience in the last 2 years is the strategy for you is to be really scrappy, try to do it yourself first in the first 6 months, 1 year. Mm-hmm. Then you get yourself acclimated, and then you start looking for those other outsourced partners, mm-hmm. co-manufacturers, that can help you scale up to that next level. And that's kind of what we're doing right now.
Don't let me forget about your accelerator and investor. We're going to shelf that for a minute.
Sure.
Because I think this is really relevant. You're moving your manufacturing.
Yes. Yes. This week. We're moving it from San Diego to Dallas. And the reason why is because they can scale for us. They've got the food service FDA certification to do that. There's different levels. And he's got the second to the highest level. And they're already doing also private labeling for Amazon. So it just really makes sense. And we're central to the country, where our distribution can be East Coast or West Coast. And it's just an hour flight for me to check on anything if anything goes down.
Sure. So it's a bit of a distribution strategy, mm-hmm. Certainly scalability that you talked about to mm-hmm. get into more retailers, more yep. shelf space, and yep. then, of course, the biggest retailer of them all,
yeah.
Amazon.
Yeah. Okay,
good. And then accessibility, too.
Yep.
Pop in on a quick Southwest flight or mm-hmm. maybe eventually a light or a high-speed rail at some point from Houston to Dallas. We'll see. Well, good. And then let's get into investors and accelerators. You can yeah. choose the order, whichever the came first.
Well, it's kind of it's kind of like the backbone. So with this particular accelerator called FoodX, they we applied in springtime of last year, and they are backed by a venture capital firm called SOSV, and so they support the accelerator, and they usually choose about 8 or 9 companies for every cohort. And we just happened to be the 8th cohort. And I was really super excited when we got the acceptance. And it just really put us on the map.
Two things. How did you know to apply for that? And two, what was the application process like?
Yeah, so I found out about that. So our PR team at the time, I had asked them about different food accelerators throughout the country.
How'd you know to ask that?
Well, so previously in 2017, the previous year, when we launched that spring, we were being considered for the Chobani Incubator Program, right? Chobani is a big yogurt giant, right? Mm-hmm. And we had won a pitch competition, and one of the prizes was a consideration into that incubator program. So that's how I found out about
that. Where was the pitch company? How did you get into the pitch company? I'm trying to back out yeah. all the way to how you discovered these resources.
Yeah, right? So in March is when we did a soft launch at a trade show called Expo West. So Expo West is a focus on natural and organic foods in the food and beverage or health space as well.
Yeah, I'm going to do it to you again. How'd you hear about this expo?
So I heard about the expo through just different industry people, and I just went on the internet and started researching some more, and I said, hey, I think this would be a good... If you were to launch a natural product, that is the place to do it.
Okay, so you uncovered that, and then yeah. I'll keep going.
Yeah.
Where are you mingling with industry people?
Oh, God. Well, only within, like, the trade shows. Only really trade shows. I mean, it's really sparse. It's a small community, but it's sparse. Like, they have Expo West in LA mm-hmm. During the spring, and then in the fall they have one in Baltimore, Maryland. Mm-hmm. So it's both sides, and I've been to both. My first one was, you know, up in March of 2017 in LA. Right after that, you have consultants, you have food scientists, you have retailers, you have buyers, you have brokers, all walks of life in the food industry, go to these trade shows, and one of which was Megan. She runs the Founder Made platform. So Founder Made is a consumer discovery platform where consumers like you and I could go in and check out what's new and up and coming in the natural products industry, which is a growing industry. And because, you know, the food industry is just so tainted. So anyway, yep, that's how I found out about it.
Okay, you're off the hook. All right, so we're at the Food Accelerator. You're in a cohort of peers that are also offering similar products, and there's it's investor backed. So how it ties in.
It's called Food Tech. So anything related with food that has a tech component, either a software that's trying to impact the food or agriculture community.
What was your tech component?
My tech component was the whole e-commerce play.
Okay.
And our innovation part of our spices is the technical part.
I see. Yeah, because at first you said direct to consumer, right?
That's
the model.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And through what vehicles? Your own e-commerce site?
Our own e-commerce site, and then Amazon.
Okay, Amazon. Okay, I was going to say, how did you drive traffic to and awareness, build awareness to your brands?
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard. It's we did Facebook, we did Instagram, right? What we learned is it's Facebook and Instagram are for brand building. And for conversion, you've got to actually have your conversion funnel, I would say, and your story really tight. Like, very clear. And we're going through that right now. Like, our website is not optimal, right? Our story is not clear. Our offering is not clear. It's not easy to manage, like, to navigate it. So.
And there's some shortcuts, too, like, if you're in a retailer, to having, like, the non-GMO, the
certifications.
Yeah. Is that going to allow you, this new Dallas facility, going to allow you access to that? You mentioned FDA earlier. I don't know if that's...
Yeah, so there's related. Two sides of the food industry. There's FDA and there's USDA, right? And USDA deals with a lot of animal protein. So because we don't have any animal protein, which is an easier way of kind of segmenting where you should position yourself in the food industry, being FDA is, going on the FDA side is easier as far as compliance. And so they have... it's a manufacturing certification called SQF level 2, right? And there's SQF level 1, and so they have 2, which is more than what any co-packer or manufacturer could have for a facility. So that's how the certification works. And then as far as the different non-GMO, gluten-free, vegan, all that stuff, that's just all the call-outs of your brand, what you actually represent and share as a proposition, you know, value to the consumer.
That's right. Yeah. And then it's just kind of giving you the credibility on the shelf, I think, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good. Well, I'm curious, you know, quite a bit about your industry. This is getting a little ahead of ourselves because I want to really get into what y'all are doing lately.
Yeah.
It's exciting. But yeah. Have you ever considered maybe now or when you have a little bit more time of consulting companies that are starting up their own brands and products in this space?
Yes, I have been thinking about that a lot. Yeah. Because I've been through so many facets of the industry, I know the nuances of how to apply, what are they looking for, how do you get into distribution, how do you get into a retailer? Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
There's a lot of places you can put that energy. I mean, there, you know, you can do it as an independent consultant. You know, we met through the SBDC.
Right.
There's opportunities there.
Right.
Anyway, so just curious, just hearing you talk.
Yeah.
Certainly, in the short amount of time, I've been able to really understand that business and industry. Well, that's terrific. So let's get into what's going on now. So you've gone through the accelerator program.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very exciting, I don't know if you want to get into the exciting food competition.
Yeah.
Right now, I think that's great. Here,
sure.
Here in Texas, very well known.
Right. So a couple of months ago, shortly after I met you, there was another session at the Small Business Development Center that was called Working with HEB. The supplier diversity team was there to present, and how I got introduced to that was through a friend and colleague at Landmark. We were coaching this course, and he says, "Hey Jimmy, check this out." He sent me a Facebook text of the link. I'm like, this is interesting. I mean, we're already working with Central Market, which is owned by the parent company HEB. I said, "Sure, I'll just go and check it out." Right. So I went to check it out, and I brought my whole. I came prepared, so I brought six of my SKUs in its box and everything, and three of the supplier diversity managers were there presenting, and then I said, you know, I came up, and I said, "Hey, would you guys be interested in this? Like, we're looking to maybe get into HEB." And so pretty much the whole conversation of that session was how to work with HEB, what do they look for? And they introduced this program called Quest for Best of Texas, right? And so I said, "Hey, well, you know, James, you think I should apply?" I said, "You know, just give it a shot." And I didn't actually do anything until a month later. It got to like the deadline, so I submitted. And 2 weeks after I submitted, I got a phone call from the supplier diversity manager, like, "Hey, we're considering your brand to be one of 20 finalists." I'm like, "Oh, how many people applied?" He said 900. I'm like, "Holy shit. Okay, cool." And then 2 weeks later, after that, in May 1st, went to their headquarters in San Antonio, had a meeting with their supplier diversity manager and the buyer for the category, and it was a great meeting. You know, they loved the story and why we think we're the best Quest for Best of Texas is because the company was founded here, and three miracles happened. I met my wife here, who's from here. I had my son, Noah, from here, and my daughter here during a hurricane. Yeah. So I think it just, you know, and I want to, in a state that is, you know, is a big consumption of meat, I just wanted to do something different, you know, and really share my culture and how to eat just really simply clean. And, you know, if you focus on the results of being healthy 80% of the time, you focus 20% of that effort, and you'll have that.
Well, that's a good story, and I bet wish you the best of luck in that competition. I mean, sounds like an amazing opportunity.
Yep.
For y'all, and just a lot of great things have happened to you in the short amount of time after that spark that we call Noah. This is great. I wish you all the best. Couple things. Want to figure out where people can find you, find your products. You want to run down that quickly?
Sure.
Yeah,
you could find us on our website, naughtynoahs.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn at Jimmy Tay Trin. You can find us on Amazon. So you just Google Naughty Noahs and you can find us very easily.
Excellent.
We're also in Central Market, World Market.
Are you guys on the here in Houston? You can do the 2-hour food delivery. Can I do that with your products?
It all depends on who the retailer is. Like so if Amazon. I don't think Amazon offers that here, the 2-hour.
Okay. Oh, they don't? Okay. Sorry.
Mm-mm. I don't use it. Only the West and the East Coast.
We use Instacart, and I guess we could probably get from Central Market, being where we're at.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Right down the street.
All right. So there's no excuse. Two hours, I can probably get your product at my house. Get it there before I get home today. Yeah. Good. This is all really exciting, Jimmy. Let's do this. There's a thing I always do in the show.
Yeah.
First thing is books that you read?
I do. Yeah. One of which stands out really well for me is it's a book called Start With Why.
Yeah.
Simon Sinek.
Yeah.
That's a really great one.
Absolutely.
Another one would be Jab, 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 Right Hook by Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yeah.
I learned that. And a third one would be the Alchemist.
Yeah. A fable.
Yeah.
Cool. Those are all good books. I actually haven't read The Alchemist. I'm familiar with the story, but the other two are rereads for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Good recommendations. And then on the app side. You could say Instacart, because they actually move product for you. But
Amazon is a good app for me.
Yeah.
Shopify is another one.
Mm, good one.
And then for data and database and like presentations, I would say Keynote by Apple, and then Google Slides, Google Sheets, everything Google. Those are easy and free. So those are my main ones that I use.
Very good. Well, Jimmy Tautran, it's been very good to have you on the show. Again, it's been a long time coming.
I know. I
wish you all the best. And we love at the house, so we'll make sure to grab some of your noodles.
Great for kids, too. Yeah.
Yeah, and we eat healthy, too, so it's right in line with how we are. And, man, there's a lot of parallels between your story and my story, including the weight gain, by the way. Yeah, I was much heavier than you, actually. I had you by
– Really?
I had your 200 pounds. I'm a little taller than you, but I had you by 80 pounds. Man. Wow. I was at 280 pounds at one point.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's great, man. Well, we appreciate what you're doing. Appreciate you having you on.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you all for joining. And
appreciate it.
Now get out there and close some business.
I know.
Central Texas rains, the strongest drink I've found.
Thank you for listening to Big Ideas Small Business. Follow us at BISB Media and visit our website at www.bisbmedia.com.